So here's the title of the message this morning. God qualifies the called. God qualifies the called. And where that comes from, it's a quote that I heard, a man by the name of Mark Batterson. Mark Batterson is a pastor of a church in Washington, D.C., National Community Church, I think it's called, large church down there. And Mark Batterson has been credited with this quote: God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Now, please understand, it's not that God's against qualifications. If you've got experience, if you've got qualifications, if you've got a resume, if you've got credentials, it doesn't mean that God can't use those. But God is in the business of taking people who would not, maybe from the world's standpoint, be considered qualified or ready, and he releases them to serve him and to do things for him. God cares much less about your credentials, your experience, your skills, your talents, as he does your willingness to accept the call that he places on your life. Amen? Amen? When it comes to answering the call of God on our life, I think a pretty common theme is this. People don't feel ready. They don't feel qualified. Oh God, anybody but me. I'm not ready for this. I can't do this and such. You know, last week was Mother's Day and we had a special guest. I invited a lady by the name of Lisa Papaleo from Bethel Christian Fellowship in Rochester. Those of you that were here got a chance to meet her. And, you know, Lisa, she's a seasoned Christian. Her and her husband and family have been members at Bethel for 32 years, been involved in things in-house, you know, teaching Sunday school and being faithful and all this. But she had never spoken in a situation like this, you know, to a congregation on a Sunday morning, whatever, you know, that sort of thing. This was a new experience for her. And it's a long story. I explained a little bit of how it came to be that I invited Lisa to come. But this was, you know, usually as a pastor, you invite folks that are, you know, obviously it's what they do, you know, or whatever. They have some experience and some, you know, track record or whatever. But Lisa came highly recommended from my good friend, Julia Peace. And so Lisa came out. I remember talking to her on the phone that, about 2 weeks prior when we were setting this up. And I said, you know, it's Mother's Day, and I felt kind of bad for her. In this sense, don't misunderstand, I felt bad in the sense that it's Mother's Day, and I wanted her to enjoy her Mother's Day. And I didn't want to add stress and anxiety, you know, to her Mother's Day and worried about, you know, my goodness, I've got to go somewhere where I've never been before, speak to a group of people that I've never met before, sort of thing. But she said, I feel like I'm supposed to do this, and we both kind of had that sense, and so we went forward with it, and she did a marvelous job. She did a tremendous job. I said after when she was done, I said, where do you go from here? You know, if that's your first time, it was just phenomenal. She did a tremendous, tremendous job. On top of everything else, on top of that being a first-time experience for her in a new place with new people, that was her first Mother's Day without her mother. Her mother had died in November, and her dad had died just a few weeks prior to that. And if ever somebody could have said, I'll take a pass, you know, it's just going to be an emotional day, it's going to be a difficult, you know, for me, just my first Mother's Day without my mom and such. You know, if anybody had, I don't want to say excuses, but you know what I'm saying, certainly Lisa could have passed the ball and said, I'll pass on it this time. But the train's coming through. There we go. Silent. I hear it. You know what? I was going to say, silence your cell phone. I didn't silence mine. Because God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He qualifies the called. There's a bee on my head? I think there's an attack going on here. Thank you for that. At least, well, I won't say it. But Lori will keep me in line. I was at LAN this week. LAN is LifeNet Apostolic Network. It's our spiritual covering. My spiritual dad, Ron Domina, is the head of that. And I was in Rochester there for the meeting. It's a monthly meeting. Group of pastors and leaders come together. And Ron called up a young man who's a pastor just to share a short testimony. You know, like we had testimonies this morning and such. He wasn't the quote-unquote featured speaker that day. But he's a young man that I've known for a while. His name is Ryan Internicola. And Ryan has been the worship leader, was the lead, you know, worship person, oversaw the worship team at Bethel for a number of years. And just recently, I mean, within the last 4 months or so, I think, 3 or 4 months, Ryan had accepted a call to pastor a church. I think, I want to say it was in West Bloomfield. And so he was off, and I haven't seen Ryan since he left Bethel and went off to begin pastoring that church. And so he was just sharing, you know, Ron's like, come on up and, you know, say hi to everybody, and, you know, we haven't seen you in a while and such like that. And so Ryan came up and he shared just for a minute, and he said this. He said, to be quite honest, I wasn't ready for this. I wasn't quite ready to do this. And as he went on and he talked a little bit more, he said, frankly, when I was hired on at Bethel to come and lead the worship team, I didn't feel ready to do that either. And his point was that more often than not, many, many times, we don't feel ready. We don't feel qualified to accept that call. And his point was, and I agree with this wholeheartedly, that just so many times when God calls us, when God is putting his hand on our lives, and it doesn't have to be to pastor a church, or, you know, it doesn't have to be that kind of stuff. I mean, just to take steps of faith, just to step out and to do something maybe that you've never done before, maybe that you're a little bit intimidated about. That's okay, because God doesn't just call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And Ryan said something, and boy, I wrote it down. He said, prepare a path for people who are not quite ready. And I'm wrestling with that right now. How do we do that? Because I believe in that. I believe in that principle. You know, don't wait until every T is crossed and every I is dotted and everything's perfect and everything, you know. Okay, now you can do it, you know. The day before you end up in a casket, you know. I mean, when is it? When is it that we're finally ready to accept the call of God? Prepare a path for people who are not quite ready. A lot of ministry. And again, by the word ministry, I'm not talking about formal, like, you know, I'm doing here necessarily. But a lot of ministry, a lot of serving God and potential serving of God never happens because people don't feel quite ready. They don't feel quite qualified to do what they sense that God is tugging at their heart to do. I just need a little more time. I need a little more experience. I need a little more education. But it's in those places where you feel like you're over your head. Those are the places that God moves. Those are the places where you see God and not just a person, right? The Bible is not short on stories of people who didn't feel quite ready, who didn't feel qualified. You know, the first one that came, so I'm just going to walk you through a couple of stories from the scriptures. The first one that came to mind was Moses. Moses, so when God calls Moses, he, you know, the burning bush, Exodus chapter 3. And so in Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, Moses says this. Moses answered and said, But suppose, you know, because God had said he'd call them back to Egypt to lead the people out of slavery. But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. So God does a couple of miracles. The rod turns into a serpent, you know. Even if you haven't read it in the Bible, you probably saw it on the Ten Commandments on television. The rod becomes a serpent. I think there was another miracle in there. I can't recall right off the top of my head. So then Moses says this. You know, God's trying to deal with his objections. Moses said, "Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." And I love God's answer to that. Because, look, you know, Moses is saying, "Lord, I can't talk in front of people, much less Pharaoh, what was arguably the most powerful man in the world at the time. I can't do that. You've got the wrong guy." And the Lord said, "Who has made man's mouth?" When you say you can't talk, God reminds and says, "Who made your mouth?" I love that. So the Lord is chipping away, chipping away, chipping away at Moses' objections. And then finally Moses says this, verse 13, "Oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send." God kind of backed him into a corner. God kind of dealt with his objections. And finally Moses just said, "Lord, send somebody else." And I think that ticked God off. I don't know if that's good theology, but I think at that point, the anger of the Lord was aroused. And it's very interesting because God kind of worked out this arrangement with Moses. And it was kind of odd because, I mean, to me, I shouldn't say that, but you know, it's just like, clearly God's hand was on Moses. And so Moses said, okay, this is what we'll do. I will speak to you. You are the leader. I'm going to speak to you and I'm going to speak through you, but you're going to have your brother Aaron be the spokesperson. Okay? I'll speak to you. You communicate to Aaron. Aaron will communicate to Pharaoh and whatever. So that's how it happened. But again, God doesn't just call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Solomon, King Solomon, you know, we know in his later years he had some problems, but he was certainly a great man. As he started off, and he said this, he said, "Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child, and I do not know how to carry out my duties." He didn't feel ready, but that's okay because God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. John the Baptist is kind of an interesting story. He did accept the call, right? He did accept the call of God on his life, and he was going forth. But you know, it's interesting. There's one place where John the Baptist, where Jesus comes to be baptized of him, and John's like, no. You know, Matthew 3:14, "I need to be baptized by you." You know, this is kind of backwards. And later on, John said, and I think I've got it up here. I'll just go through this real quick. He said, "I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie or to strap his sandals, to tie his sandals." I mean, he knew who Jesus was, and he had, you know, such a deference to Jesus and just a humility in his heart. But he accepted the call. But then something happened in John's life. He ended up in prison. And prison has a way of making you question, right? Prison has a way of maybe making you question, am I really doing what God's called me to do? I mean, I can only imagine what he was feeling. And so John is in prison, and he's beginning to wonder, this is the way I read it, am I doing the right thing? Am I on the right track? Do I have the right guy? You know? Now, mind you, he had already said, in John 1:29, a couple verses after this verse I have up there, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," when he saw Jesus coming. So he knew who Jesus was. But all of a sudden he's in prison. And it says, when John heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, he asked his disciples to ask him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? He was ready to throw in the whole shooting match because life hadn't gone the way that he thought it should or would. And so John's story is a little bit different, but it's the same idea. You know, he reached that place where he just wasn't sure if he was hearing from God. And I just feel like this is a word from the Lord. You know, I know I say that, very humbly, but I believe this is for some of you here today. Stop waiting until you have all your objections and your fears and your insecurities and your inadequacies met before you step out and answer the call of God. Amen? So you take it and as you will. I'm not saying there isn't a need for preparation. Okay? There is a season of preparation. Of course there is. Paul cautioned not to raise up a novice. Paul cautioned about not too quickly laying hands of ordination on someone, right? I mean, so, you know, just a word of balance. I'm not saying preparation is unnecessary. It is a necessary thing. Character development is everything in ministry, right? But I'm speaking to those who just need to take a step of faith and launch out and do something that maybe is a little bit over your head. And you've been holding back, holding back, holding back. Because it's in that place, it's in that place where you find the stories of God's hand moving in the lives, through your life. And when you step out of the boat and you take some steps of faith. I have something in my, thing I took out of a magazine or something years ago, and it's on the bulletin board in my office, and it says, and I've mentioned it before, it says, always do what you're afraid to do. I hate that saying. I hate that saying. It's easy to stand up here and say it, but it's a whole other thing when you're in a situation that you are afraid to do. Now, you know, I've been doing this pastoring for 34 years and all that, so there's a degree to which I'm comfortable doing this, but I never, ever want to think that I could just like do this because I've done it thousands of times before, right? That's not what carries the day. And there's situations where I feel intimidated. There's situations where I feel those butterflies in my stomach, and we all do, right? It's just a normal part of life. It's all well and good to have something on the wall that says always do what you're afraid to do until you have to do something you're afraid to do. Then it's a whole different ballgame. I don't like that feeling at all. I don't like that feeling. Yeah, I'm hearing people say it. Nobody does. I do not like that. I do not like when my stomach is in knots. When I feel those butterflies, I don't like feeling nervous. I don't like that feeling of feeling, of it feels hard to catch your breath sort of thing. You feel like you're going to hyperventilate, right? Probably in some way or another, we've been there at different times in our life. I do not like that at all. You know, and it's not just in minutes. I was thinking, I don't know, I'll just take a second and share. A couple of years ago when it was just a short sprint triathlon, but I was a goal I set. And when you're far off and you set a goal, it's like, oh yeah, that's going to be, okay, whatever. And then it was getting closer and closer. And I remember that week, and I remember, you know, the days leading up to, and I remember waking up that morning and my stomach was just in knots over it. You know, I'm going to get halfway through the swim, I'm going to drown in Lake Ontario, you know, sort of thing, whatever. You know, all these things are going through your mind. And, you know, I'm going to make a fool out of myself. I'm going to be the, you know, whatever. And I remember thinking, you know, just that feeling, those butterflies in my stomach and just that sense of, I don't have to do this, right? This is voluntary. I'd lose $100 or something like that. I don't remember what it cost, but I could just go for a motorcycle ride today and just totally have fun, you know, and not have to put myself through that. And I remember getting there and going through the whole process, and I was just, my stomach was just churning inside of me. And I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? I don't like that feeling. I hate that feeling. I still hate that feeling. But there are so many ways that we allow fear to hold us back. You know, I think about, you know, probably most of you, a lot of you have seen America's Got Talent, you know, those kind of shows, or American Idol. And I think about that little 17-year-old girl or whatever. I mean, just, where's Kurt? You know, Bumbart. You know, your niece just, Diane's niece just was on American Idol. And, you know, and not only that, I mean, America's Got Talent, they got a big crowd in front, you know, the American Idol. I haven't really ever watched that very much, but it seems like you're mostly just in front of these judges, which is no small thing, plus it's on television, and millions of people are seeing it. But I'm thinking, you know, these people are going out there to sing, you know, and that's even harder, you know, because you got to be able to breathe, and you got, you know, and they're probably feeling like they're about ready to hyperventilate, or that figure skater that's about to step out, or that gymnast, and you know, and they feel like, and I've read this, I feel like I'm going to throw up, you know, I mean, I'm that nervous that I'm going to feel like, and so many times we allow, I know I'm probably making this really enticing and encouraging for you, you know, to make you really want to do this, but I'm just saying it is common. You are all like very important people today. Like everybody's getting calls. But it's all good. It's all good. Forget about all the sports things, the analogies and stuff. I'm talking about, you know, when stepping out for God, don't let fear paralyze you and keep you from stepping out. There are great rewards on the other side. And the beautiful thing, God says, I'm right there with you. Right? I mean, you talk about wanting to be close to God. Step out into something that's a little bit over your head, and you'll feel a closeness to God even in the midst of those things fluttering in your stomach, right? Peter wanted to step out of the boat, and Jesus said, I'm right here. I'm right here. Isaiah was a man who did respond. He said, I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. But Jeremiah, on the other hand, Jeremiah 1, 6 and 7, says, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. So this is my encouragement, this is my exhortation, as it were, to you this morning. But I just want to close, before I close, I just want to tell you, know, like everything, there's two sides to a coin, right? And I focused mostly this morning, and that was really the main thought that I had on my mind this morning, was what I just shared about God qualifying, called, and such like that. But the other side of that coin is sometimes when you rely solely on your own strength. You know, it's like, oh, I can do that. Yeah. You know, I've got some experience in that. I can do this or I can do that. That's wonderful. If you've got credentials, if you've got a resume, if you've got experience, that's a good thing. However, the bad thing is when you start to rely on that and that alone, right? Then you're in trouble. I can do that. I'm qualified for that. Well, praise God, if you are qualified, if you do have, you know, experience, like I said, it's a wonderful thing. But God isn't just looking for people with impressive resumes. He's looking for willing hearts, people who are willing to say, in spite of it all, I will step forward. You know, we all have our lists. When this first thought came into my mind, I was actually going to call this message our list. You know, like, what is your list? You know, of the things where you feel like, I'll give you Paul's. Paul had a list, right? The Apostle Paul, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. This is Philippians 3, 5, and 6. Of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. Paul had pedigree. He had credentials. But then he said this in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Religious people always have their lists. The Jews had their list, right? They go out, they're going out and listening to John the Baptist preach, and they're kind of curious about this strange man. And they go out there and they're listening to John. And John says something to him, because he knew that they were putting all their trust in the fact that they were of a certain lineage. That was all that mattered to them. We're children of Abraham. That's enough. I mean, that's our ticket. We're children of Abraham. Those are our credentials. That's our list. It's very simple. We're Abraham's descendants. God bless, you know, like I said, I love the Jewish people and the call of God. But when you put all your trust in that, so John said this to him. He said, "Do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones." That probably took the air out of their sails a little bit, and they didn't, probably were not very happy about that. God can raise up children from these stones. So you put all your trust in the fact that you're of this particular family, of this particular people or whatever. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know, I think about a lot of churches, you know, when looking for leadership in the church and elders and different things and such, he's a businessman, this person's a businessman, and this one's an attorney, this one's that, you know. Well, that's fine. It's wonderful if you've got those credentials, but stop looking at the things the world looks at to qualify people to do what God's called them to do. Right? Those things are great, but that doesn't make a person a shepherd, you know, with a shepherd's heart just because they're a good administrator. So on the one hand, as I close here, you know, I'm addressing folks who are tentative, who may be a little fearful of stepping out to the thing that God has called them or the things that God has called them to do. You know, and sometimes we don't even allow ourselves to think seriously about it. I think Lisa said it last week. Like, you know, sometimes you're afraid to ask God because you know he's going to give you an answer, right? You know, so you just don't even ask, right? It's just easier just not to ask. And then you don't have to deal with it. So there's that side of it. You know, when you feel unqualified, when you feel not quite ready to take that step. But on the other hand, and what I just said for a moment, the last few moments, don't rely on your area of expertise alone. You know, God's going to use you and say, he's got to do it within these boundaries, you know, where I'm comfortable, you know, where I feel like I can do it. Because then you're going to rely on yourself and you're not going to need the Spirit of God. Or you're going to deceive yourself to think you don't need the Spirit of God. It is not unlike God to strip away all those things and do something in your life that makes you just simply have to rely on him. And not on your experience and such like that. So let's keep all that in mind. And always remember this. Going back to that theme that I said over and over, God doesn't just call the qualified, he qualifies the called. There is always somebody who will seem more qualified than you. There is always somebody. And that's what Moses would, you know, send anybody else. Anybody. Because there's got to be somebody that can do this better than me. And I've shared this story with you many times, but a pastor friend of mine who was struggling and going through, he said, I know, Tim, that there's somebody that can do this better than me. And I said, you're right. I don't think he was ready for that. You know, I said, you are absolutely right. There's somebody who's better at it than you. But they're not called. If you're called, that's the main, again, preparation's important. Character, all that stuff. You know, don't treat that lightly or think I'm just blowing that off. But God doesn't just require impeccable credentials, because sometimes we just rely on them. If you've got them, praise God, but don't solely rely on them. I'm going to ask you to stand, and this is where I want to conclude today, because I want to pray for you. Now, this is a little bit, this might not sit well with some, but I'll just say what's on my mind. What's your excuse? What is your excuse? You know, for a lot of folks, Listen very closely. They go through a season of life where they say, I'm too young, I'm raising a family, I'm too busy, you know, I've got all these things going on in my life, you know, just give it a little bit of time, and then, you know. So they go from this place of, I'm too young, I'm inexperienced, I'm busy, you know, I'm working hard, I'm raising a family, and all of a sudden, it's just like, at the blink of an eye, I'm too old, my time has passed. Right? It's kind of funny how that works, doesn't it? When you're young, you think you've got all this list of excuses, and then you get older, and then you've got your whole different set of excuses, and you never even stop to realize that one just overlapped the other, and you never stepped out and did what God called you to do. And you may say, I don't have any clue what God's called me to do. Ask Him. Get serious about it. Because, again, you know, we coined this phrase again and again, the ministry of every believer, right? It's not just about the person who's a pastor or an elder or this or that or teacher or whatever. God has a call on everyone's life. Don't let the devil win, you know, in the sense of, you know, you're too young, and then all of a sudden, like I say, in the blink of an eye, you're too old, and you feel like you've missed your opportunity. And when it all gets said and done, you were kept back. You believed the lie, and you were kept back when you were young, and then as you got older, whatever. You know, I'm just using that as an example. There's many other ways that it happens. So I just want to pray as we close this morning. And, you know, I want to ask you to bow your heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but if there's just folks here that in some way you feel like this has spoken to your heart, and that God is stirring your heart to do something. And maybe you even don't even know what it is, but you just have a sense that there's more for you. I just ask you to slip up your hand. I just want to pray for you, because I want to pray that God would release this gift of faith. Who here? Anybody else? Come on. I know there's got to be people here. Which end of the spectrum are you on? Are you one of the older folks that says, oh, my time has passed? Sherm Horton's going to be 96 years old, right? God's going to use him. Continue to use him. So, Father, I pray, Lord, just raise your hands and just as a sign of surrender. That's kind of been a big theme this morning. God, I want to be like Isaiah. I want to say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Send me. If you can use me, and that if shouldn't even be there. Because you can. You can use every person who is willing to surrender, who is willing to take that step of faith, who is willing to acknowledge the call, and again, I know call, it sounds so formal, it sounds so like, you know, a voice from heaven, a burning bush experience like Moses. And for all, practically every one of us, it's nothing of that magnitude. It doesn't come to us that way. There's just that nudge in our heart. There's that stirring inside of us that there's something more that God has for us. And He wants us to take another step and go to the next level. And I know, and I see it in your hand, you know, with your hands, and God is speaking to you. And I pray, do not walk out of this place and just forget what God is dealing with you about. Say yes to Him. Say yes. Harold Bredesen wrote a book called Yes, Lord, where he simply just, it didn't matter what the question was. His answer was just routinely, yes, Lord. And I pray, God, that I would be like that more. And for all of us, that we would take those steps of faith. And Father, for those maybe that they're at the place in their life where they're taking that first step of faith, of saying yes to Jesus Christ, I pray if there's anybody here or anybody listening online, if that's you and you're at that place, please, please say yes, Lord. Surrender your heart to Him. Give your life to Jesus. He has paid it all. He has paid the price. He has made all things new. If you will just but surrender to Him and yield your life to Him and let Him make you that new creation in Jesus Christ. So we pray all this and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I'm just believing for God to do some things and to take all of us myself included, to a new place in Him, a new place of surrender and service for Him. God bless you. Dismissed. Pray you have a great day in the Lord. Please avail yourself of the fellowship time.